السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد بن عبد الله، عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم، أما بعد. فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في قرآنه العزيز: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنا أنزلناه في ليلة القدر وما أدراك ما ليلة القدر، ليلة القدر خير من ألف شهر، تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر، سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر. We commence by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is no doubt our creator, sustainer, nourisher, protector and curer. We ask him, the Almighty, to shower his choicest of blessings and salutations upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family members, his companions and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, today we are going to be talking about an extremely important night. And before we commence talking about that night, I want to ask you all, what if last night was Laylatul Qadr? What if last night was Laylatul Qadr? What if tonight is Laylatul Qadr? What if the night tomorrow is Laylatul Qadr? We are in the last 10 nights of Ramadan, and any one of these nights can be Laylatul Qadr. So let's talk about Laylatul Qadr a little bit to try and understand what a great and grand night this is, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept it in store for all of us. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all to attain this night. Ameen. Before I delve into the content, I would like to share an amazing hadith with you all. An extremely interesting and amazing hadith with you all. Talha ibn Ubaidillah radiyallahu anhu, he narrates, and this hadith is an authentic hadith. He states that there were two individuals, anna rajulaini min baliyin qadima ala rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That two individuals, they came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they embraced Islam at the same time by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Two individuals. Time passes. One individual, he passes away, he dies as a martyr, he dies as a martyr for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, striving and fighting for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he dies as a martyr. The other individual, he too dies, but 1 year after this individual, 1 year after the martyr, he dies a normal death, at home perhaps, he dies a normal death. Now Talha radiyallahu anhu, he witnesses a dream. He sees a dream, and in that dream he finds himself in front of the gates of Jannah. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all entry into Jannah. Ameen. He finds himself in front of the gates of Jannah, and he also finds these two individuals, the two men as well. They are all in front of the gates of Jannah, three of them. Now an angel comes, he opens the gates of Jannah, and he admits one of them into paradise. So we have Talha radiallahu anhu, we have the shaheed, we have the martyr, and we have the man who died a year after the martyr, after the shaheed, a normal death. So we have three individuals. The angel comes and admits, I'm sure most of you might be thinking that he must have admitted the shaheed, but no. He doesn't admit the shaheed, he admits the other individual, the individual who passed away a year after the shaheed, a normal death. He admits him into Jannah. He locks the gates and he goes. Time passes, he comes after a while, he opens the gates again, and now he admits the shaheed and he goes. A third time he comes and he opens the gates and he says, Ya Talha, your time has not come yet, so you may go back. Ya Talha, your time has not come yet, so you may go back. No sooner the angel says this, Talha radiallahu anhu, he wakes up from his slumber, from his dream, from his sleep, he wakes up. He wakes up and he is puzzled by this dream. He's wondering, how come a shaheed? And we all know the high rank of a shaheed. A shaheed, he wasn't entered into Jannah, but this individual who passed away a normal death, he was entered before the shaheed. He was puzzled. He wanted to know what was so special about this individual. And because he was so puzzled, he started talking about this dream to his friends and people around him. Gradually, news travels to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, he calls Talha radiallahu anhu and he asks him, Ya Talha, what is it that has puzzled you so much in regard to this dream? So Talha radiallahu anhu, he narrates the dream unto Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam and he tells him, Ya Rasulullah, what puzzles me is that the shaheed, who we all know will acquire a high status in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was not entered into Jannah, but the other individual was entered before him into Jannah. And then afterwards the shaheed enters Jannah. This is what puzzles me. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then educates Talha radiallahu anhu by asking him, Ya Talha, did not this other individual who passed away a normal death remain for another year, 1 year on the face of this earth? The narration goes along the lines of these words. To which Talha radiallahu anhu, he replies in the affirmative. He says, yes. Did he not witness another month of Ramadan? Did he not witness another month of Ramadan? To which he replies, yes. Did he not pray in the month of Ramadan? And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went on to mention, did he not prostrate during the month of Ramadan? And scholars state, did he not read the Quran during the month of Ramadan, give out charity in the month of Ramadan? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not mention this in the wording of the hadith, but it's clearly understood. Did he not involve himself in a number of good deeds during the month of Ramadan? Perhaps he may have coincided with Laylatul Qadr during the month of Ramadan, the night of power during the month of Ramadan. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then goes on to cap off the hadith by saying, Ya Talha, The difference between the two individuals is like the earth and the heavens, or the difference between the heavens and the earth. Between a shaheed and an individual who passed away 1 year after, just because he witnessed the month of Ramadan, the month that you and I, we are seated in, the month that almost more than two-thirds of it has gone away, we have another few nights of that blessed month remaining with us. And within these nights, let us try our level best to secure Laylatul Qadr, the night of power. So what do you know about the night of power? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encapsulates the entire discussion about Laylatul Qadr in this surah, the surah that I recited at the inception. Inna anzalnahu fi Laylatul Qadr. Indeed, we sent it down, i.e. the Quran, during Laylatul Qadr, the night of power. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ. And what will make you understand, what will make you know what Laylatul Qadr is? This is a rhetorical question. It's a question to open up our minds, to intrigue us. What will make you know what Laylatul Qadr is? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself answers that question by saying, لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. That the night of power is better than 1,000 months. Now, like how we discussed Ayatul Kursi yesterday, we're going to try and quickly discuss Suratul Qadr, or at least the term Laylatul Qadr. Okay? At least the term Laylatul Qadr, inshallah. It's a lengthy discussion, and trust me, we will run out of time just to discuss Laylatul Qadr. Now, Layla, let's start off with the word Layla. Layla is an Arabic term that can be, I'm not talking about Layla and Majnun, don't worry, no love stories here. Layla can be translated as night. Laylatun can be translated as night. Laylatul Qadr. The word has been affixed to Qadr. So it basically means, the number of ways of translating it. You can translate it as a night of decree, the night of power, the night of grandeur. Now let's talk about Qadr a little bit. Now that I've loosely translated Qadr, let's talk about Qadr a tad bit, inshallah. Yeah? Firstly, the term Qadr, The term Qadr can be pronounced in two ways. One is that you can pronounce it as Qadr with a fatha over the dal, Qadr, Qadr. Or you can pronounce it as Qadr with a sukoon over the dal. Two ways of pronouncing it. Either you can pronounce it as Qadr or Qadr. Two ways of pronouncing it. So generally when we talk about Qadr, what comes to our mind is destiny. We say that everything has been written by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is part of our belief system. We have got how many pillars of Islam? Buniya al-Islamu ala khams. We have got 10 pillars of Islam. How many pillars have we got?
Five
pillars. MashaAllah. Barakallahu feek. We have got 5 pillars of Islam. Buniya al-Islamu ala khams. Islam has been founded upon 5 pillars. Okay? And then we have got how many articles of faith in regard to Iman? How many? 7 or 8? How many articles of faith? 6 or 7?
6.
Jazakumullah khair. 6 articles of faith. Al-Imanu an tu'mina billah wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi wa liyawmil akhir wa bil qadar wa bil qadari khairihi wa sharrihi min Allah. It's basically to believe in Allah wa malaikatihi, his angels, wa kutubihi, his books, all of the books that were sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Injil, Torah, Quran, we're supposed to believe in all of the books, wa rusulihi, all of the prophets, all of the messengers, alayhimu salatu wasalam. According to one particular hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, there were 124,000 prophets sent in total by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of the 124,000, 300 odd of them were messengers sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa rusulihi wal yawm al-akhir. And we are supposed to believe in the day of qiyamah, doomsday, the day of resurrection. And then finally, the last pillar, wabil qadr. We are supposed to believe in qadr, that everything has been predestined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything has been predestined. Everything has been written by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the 6 articles of faith. So from this we understand that it is mandatory, it's obligatory that you believe in qadr. Because one may ask, why should I believe in the qadr? You should believe in the qadr because it is one of the 6 articles of faith. And if you do not believe in it, you're not a mu'min. You're not a complete mu'min. You will not be considered a mu'min. You have to believe in all 6 articles of faith to be considered a mu'min. Now, as we are going to start a mini journey in regard to Qadr, I would like to put forth a disclaimer at the very beginning. And this disclaimer is in the form of the words of Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, who states that Qadr is like a vast, deep and infinite ocean. Qadr is like a vast, deep and infinite ocean. And the only source of safety, the only way that you can think of traversing or crossing that ocean, okay, is upon the ship of Islamic legislation. It is upon the ship of Islamic legislation, i.e. the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Say for example, you are on this particular island. You want to get to another island. Let's talk about a far away island, like perhaps Addu or Formulak. Far away island, very far. You want to get to that point. How would you traverse it? Will you go on a jet ski? Can you go to Addu on a jet ski? MashaAllah. Can you? Maybe you can try. It would be very tiring. You would want to secure a good boat, a sturdy boat, to get you from point A to point B. You're not going to go on a boat that has rows on it. It'll take you ages to reach Addu. You're not going to go on a boat that has a hole in it. You will make sure that you secure a sturdy, stable and safe boat to get you from point A to point B. So likewise, Qadr is like a vast, deep and infinite ocean. And for you to cross this ocean, you can only cross it on the ship of legislation, i.e. the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you try to understand Qadr in any other way, you will drown in that ocean. If you try to apply your mind, if you try to apply your logic, if you try to apply your rationale in regard to it, you are bound to drown in that ocean. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. So having put forth that disclaimer, now we can discuss about the Qadr, or about this particular term Qadr, based on the Quran and the Sunnah of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now let's talk about a quick discussion, a few definitions in regard to Qadr. Primarily, number one, the meaning that is given to Qadr is Al-Qadha in the Arabic language. Al-Qadha means the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is derived through one of the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam talks about istikhara, salatul istikhara. And in that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in the dua of istikhara like he would teach them Suratul Fatiha. And he taught them that whenever you come across a junction in your life, like perhaps you have two paths, you have path A and you have path B to choose. Like, let me give you a few examples. You have got two universities that you plan on applying. Two universities. Maybe you're planning on going to the United Kingdom. Maybe you're planning on going to Australia. You're confused. You don't know which path to take. You're wondering, should I go to UK? Should I go to Australia? So you're considering, you're contemplating, you're wondering what to do. At this point, it's best that you pray Salatul Istikhara. It's best that you pray Salatul Istikhara. Now, Salatul Istikhara is very simple. It's not a fard prayer, it's a nafil optional prayer. You pray two raka'at, nafil prayers unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then you're supposed to make a dua. And in this dua, you think about this matter. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us the dua, Allahumma inni astakhiruka bi'ilmik wa astaqdiruka biqudratik wa as'aluka min fadlika al-azim fa innaka taqdir wa la aqdir wa ta'lam wa la a'lam wa anta allamul ghuyub. Allahumma in kunta ta'lam anna hadha al-amr khayrun li fi dini wa ma'ashi wa aqibati amri faqdurhu li wa yassirhu li thumma barik li fi. Allahumma in kunta ta'lam anna hadha al-amr sharrun li fi dini wa ma'ashi wa aqibati amri. Then, فَصْرِفْهُ عَنِّي وَصْرِفْنِي عَنِّي وَقُدُرْ لِيَ الْخَيْرَ حَيْثُ كَانَ ثُمَّ رَدِّنِي بِهِ. It may sound as if it's a long dua, but if you memorize it, it's actually very easy and the meaning is just mind-blowing. You're saying, oh Allah, اللهم إني أستخيرك بعلمك. Oh Allah, I'm seeking goodness by virtue of your knowledge. وأستقدرك بقدرتك. I'm seeking power, ability by virtue of your power. وأسألك من فضلك العظيم. I'm seeking and asking you of your great bounty. فَإِنَّكَ تَقْدِرُ وَلَا أَقْدِرُ. Because indeed you are all powerful and I have no power whatsoever. وَتَعْلَمْ وَلَا أَعْلَمْ. You know everything, I know nothing. وَأَنْتَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ. And you are the knower of all unseen matters. Oh Allah, if this matter is good for me, as you continue with the dua, اللهم إن كنت تعلم أن هذا الأمر. If this good matter is good for me, if it's good for my livelihood, if it is good for my deen, if it is good for my life, then فَقْدُرْهُ لِي. Decree it for me. Ordain it for me. Now that's where the term qada comes about. See, the term faqdur, uqdur, this root, the command form of this verb, the root is the same as qadr. The same as qadr. So you're making dua unto Allah. Oh Allah, decree the matter for me. You're thinking about UK, you're thinking about Australia. You're making dua. Oh Allah, whatever is good for me, decree it for me. And then once you're done with the dua, because afterwards you're also saying, oh Allah, if it is bad for me, turn it away from me. Avert it away from me. Some people have a few misconceptions in regard to Salatul Istikhara. They think that after making Salatul Istikhara, they have to see a dream. That they have to see a dream. Now, if they are contemplating about UK and Australia, they think that in the dream, I must see the Heathrow International Airport, or I must see the UK airport, or I must see the Australia airport. Only then I can make a decision. Don't ever think that you're going to see a dream where a big green sign is going to fall and tell you, you can go to UK, you can go to Australia. You may see a dream, but that's not the general rule. You don't have to see a dream. If you see a dream, well and good. That would indicate to you as to what path you should take. Say perhaps you have two marriage proposals. Two marriage proposals and you're confused. MashaAllah, both of the girls are beautiful. And for the sisters, maybe both of the boys are handsome, MashaAllah. Both are religious. Both are having good jobs. Amazing proposals and you're confused. One is from Male and one is from Addu, for example. And now you're confused. You don't know what to do. You make Salatul Istikhara, but now don't expect that in the dream, the girl of your dreams is going to come and say, come, come, welcome you and give you a hug in the dream. No. After making Salatul Istikhara, if you see a dream, like I said, it's well and good. But in general, you should proceed. You should proceed in regard to the path that your heart is inclined towards. Bismillah. Because you've already made dua to Allah. Oh Allah, if it is good for me, decree it for me. If it is bad, turn it away from me. So the fact that you're going ahead with it is because Allah has decreed it for you. Because you've already made the dua, oh Allah, if it is bad for me, turn it away from me. So Allah did not turn it away from you, and you are going ahead with path A, for example. Bismillah, there will be khair in it. And say, okay, down the line, you face trials. Like say, for example, you chose the girl from this island, or you chose the girl from that island, and now you're married 2 years, 3 years, and now you're running through a little bit of trouble. a little bit of turbulence. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save all of our marriages. Maybe even you're thinking of now divorcing that girl. And you're wondering, I prayed Salatul Istikhara. I made dua. And the Shaykh said the other day that if I were to take my step forward, it'll be a path of goodness. Now how come I'm facing trials? How come I'm facing challenges? At that point, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, you need to understand that it is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The path may be good for you, but it is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to test you as to how you're going to fare in that particular path. Perhaps it's a test to see whether you will easily give in to divorce, whether you are ready to invest more into your marriage. It's a test to test you in regard to your sabr, to perhaps forgive you of your sins, to perhaps polish you for something better, to perhaps help you secure a high rank in paradise. So it has no major connection with Salatul Istikhara. Just because you're facing trials and challenges down the line, that does not mean that you have to dismiss Salatul Istikhara or think that you made the wrong decision. No, you made the decision with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first meaning, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, is related to qada, the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another meaning that you can give to qadr is uluwu sha'an in the Arabic language, which means something of a high nature. Something of a high nature. Now, I want you all to connect these meanings back to Laylatul Qadr. The first meaning, what did I say? It was Qada, decree. So we connect it to Laylatul Qadr. It's a night of decree. Because on that night, there will be many decisions that will come down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many decisions. It will be said unto the angels in regard to our provisions for that entire year. In regard to how many people are perhaps going to die during that year. How many people are going to be born during that year. There are many, many decisions that come down during that night. And remember, those are not decisions made on that particular night. Don't think that those decisions were made on that particular night. The decisions were made 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth. 50,000. Remember this, it's part of believing in the six articles of faith, to believe in the Qadr, that everything was written by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth. And wallahu alam, we don't know whether those years are years of our time, like I mentioned the other day, or the years by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it is according to the years of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one day is equivalent to 1,000 years of our time. Allahu Akbar. One day is equivalent to 1,000 years of our time. So 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth, Allah created the pen. And Allah commanded the pen to write, uktub. The pen asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what should I write? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the pen to write in regard to whatever will occur, whatever is going to occur from day one until the last day, until the day of Qiyamah. And the pen wrote down everything. رُفِعَتِ الْأَقْلَامُ وَجَفَّتِ الصُّحُفُ. And the pens have been lifted and the pages are all dry. The fact that you and I, we are all seated in this masjid on this particular day, at this particular time, talking about this particular matter. I'm wearing white and brown, you're wearing red, mashallah, you're wearing a checkered shirt, you're wearing black, you're wearing white, you're wearing green, you're wearing purple, you're wearing a rainbow t-shirt, mashallah. Everything was decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth. I lifted my hand like this. That was decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth. This is our belief and we believe in it. We believe in it. Now very quickly, there were a few, like Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, the ones who applied their minds in regard to Qadr, they went astray. There were two main groups that went astray in regard to Qadr. They took the two extremes. Two groups known as Qadariya and Jabariya. Two groups. One group, they went astray because they said, they went overboard and they completely negated free will. They said that we are puppets. That we are puppets. Our strings are being pulled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have no free will whatsoever. We have no free will whatsoever. So whatever we do, it is because of the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then they went on to justify sins. Like say for example, they would say if someone were to go and indulge in zina, he cannot be held accountable because it was the qadr of Allah that pushed him to do zina. A man can go rob a bank and say, no, don't hold me accountable. It is the destiny of God. It is the qadr of Allah. That is why I am robbing the bank. I have no power whatsoever. So they went astray. Another group, the other extreme, they said they completely affirmed free will and they negated the involvement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They said that until man makes the decision, God does not know about it. Like say, if you come to a junction, until you make the decision, Allah does not know about it. You have complete power. Two extremes. But Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we who follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la ifrata wa la tafrit. We always take a path of balance and moderation. We state that Allah knows everything. Nothing is hidden from Allah. Everything has been decreed by Allah, but we have been given free will as well. We have been given the choice. The choice is ours. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already knows about your choice. You can't negate it from the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me give you a quick example. Say at 3:30, Salatul Asr, time for Salatul Asr. Yes? Or perhaps let's fast forward it towards the evening, inshallah. I think Salatul Taraweeh begins at what? 8 o'clock, say? For example, at 8 p.m. Now at 8 p.m., you have two options. One is you can sit back, grab some food, and maybe watch a nice movie. You have that option. The other option is to get ready, perform ablution, and come to the masjid and indulge in Salatul Taraweeh. Two options. Yes? Now you are at a junction. If you choose, remember, the choice is yours. Allah knows what you're going to choose. That is not hidden from Allah. If that was hidden from Allah, will Allah be Al-Alim? Will Allah be Al-Khabir? Will Allah be the All-Knowing? Allah knows what you're going to choose. But the choice is yours. At that point, if you perhaps choose, think of it as a map. You know, you've got a huge map. You've got two paths now. If you choose to come to the masjid, then your destiny will unravel itself accordingly. You will come to the masjid, you will seek tawbah, and you will indulge in goodness, and you will move from goodness to goodness that way, inshallah. On the other hand, you choose the option of staying back at home, indulging in sin, indulging in that which is haram, then your destiny will unravel itself accordingly. And if you persist on that path, it will eventually lead you to Jahannam. If you persist on this path, it will eventually lead you to Jannah, inshallah ta'ala. Do you understand how it works? But the choice at that point is yours. And we come across a number of junctions in our lives. Not just one junction. Trust me, you come across these junctions a number of times in a given day. From the time you wake up, in the morning when you wake up, you come across a junction. Should I wear a crew neck t-shirt? Should I wear a polo t-shirt today? Should I wear jeans? Should I wear normal pants? All choices. Every choice is yours. You decide to wear something, it is your choice. When it comes to breakfast, shall I have eggs or shall I have cereal? Junction. Choice is yours. I'm talking about mundane choices, but then there are bigger choices as well. In terms of goodness and evil. In terms of big life matters in your life. You make a number of decisions and all those decisions are yours. And you will face the repercussions of those decisions. It depends on whether you choose the right decision or the bad decision. If you choose the bad decision, then you have to face the consequences. If you choose the good decisions, then you will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a little bit of an understanding in regard to Qadr. So having said that, what did I say? 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth, everything was decreed. So there is this one big database known as Lawhul Mahfuz, the preserved tablet. In that, everything has been decreed. And from that tablet, from that main database, decisions come down. There is a taqdeer hawli, ami. There is a taqdeer that takes place, the decisions come down on a yearly basis, that is during Laylatul Qadr. When the child is in the womb of its mother, there are decisions that come down, such as, is the child going to be a male child or a female child? Is the child going to be a shaqi or a sa'id? A fortunate individual and an unfortunate individual. In terms of the rizq of that individual, in terms of the lifespan of the individual. All of these decisions come when the child is in the womb. But those decisions are not made at that time. Those decisions are taken from the database. On a yearly basis, like say for example, if tonight is Laylatul Qadr, for the year 2017, Brother Khalid or Brother Abdullah, how much he is going to earn for the entire year? Perhaps he is going to earn $1 million, mashallah. May Allah bless us all. $1 million. Maybe he is going to eat 100 packets of biryani. Allahu Akbar. He is going to develop cholesterol. 100 packets of biryani, okay? And perhaps he's going to do this, going to do that. A number of important decisions come down during Laylatul Qadr. In terms of every morsel of food that will put down your mouth, it will be decreed on Laylatul Qadr. But those are not new decisions. All these decisions come from Lawhul Mahfuz, from the preserved tablet. In terms of a child in its mother's womb, how long the child is going to live, whether the child is going to be a male or female, all of these decisions are not made at that time. This was already made 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth. رُفِعَتِ الْأَقْلَامُ وَجَفَّتِ الصُّحُفُ. Pens have been lifted, pages are dry. Pens have been lifted, pages are all dry. Decisions come at that point. So now a question may arise very quickly, because the pens have been lifted and the pages have dried. Can the qadr be changed? Can the qadr be changed? Can there be a taghayyur made in the qadr? It's a question that arises. Because we have a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as-sadaqatu tutfi'u al-bala. The charity averts calamities. Charity averts calamities. Dua perhaps will avert a calamity. Dua will lengthen your life. So how do these factors work? Let me give you another example. We'll go with the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as-sadaqatu tutfi'u al-bala. The charity averts calamities. Let's take an individual, Mr. A. Mr. A. Mr. A is supposed to be, I don't want to mention any names, because what if it coincides? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all, because I'm going to talk about a little bit of a graphical example, if you will. Say Mr. A, he's seated here in the masjid, mashallah, he's listening to the talk, and he's going to leave the masjid at 4:45 p.m. 4:45 p.m. It has been written in the Qadr of Allah. This is an example. At 5 p.m., he will be at the junction and he's going to meet with an accident. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. He's going to meet with an accident at 5 p.m. Now what happens? 4:45, according to the qada of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he leaves the masjid and he's making his way to the junction. Because why? 5 o'clock, he's going to meet with an accident there. At 4:50 or 4:55, an old lady crosses his path asking him for some money. Asking him for some money. She looks at him and says, "Brother, I'm hungry. I want some rufia to go and buy some money. I want some dollars. I want some pounds to buy some iftar for myself and my family." At what time? 4:50 or 4:55? What time is the accident? Are you guys awake? What time is the accident? 5 o'clock. Now at 4:50 or 4:55, what does he have now? A choice. He has the choice to give the sadaqah. He has the choice to say, "Don't trouble me," and go. What did I say? A map. If at 4:50, now let's say this is the accident, all right? The mic is the accident. So we have one path leading to the accident, another path that is like a roundabout. You know, you're going past the accident, all right? Two paths. One path leading to the accident, one path going around the accident. Now he is here at 4:50. If he decides not to give the charity, he will go and meet with what? The accident. The other path is around the accident. If he decides to give the charity, as-sadaqatu tutfi'ul bala. He gives the charity at this point. He decides, okay, 4:50, poor lady, she's hungry. Let me give her something, and he gives her 10 pounds. He gives her 20 pounds. He gives her $10, $20. Now, because he gave that charity, the calamity is averted and he goes around it and he does not even know about it. Because do we know the qadr? We don't know the qadr. We don't know about the qadr of Allah. You understand? If he had not given the charity, he would have gone and met with the accident. Same thing with dua. Perhaps your life was going to be just 30 years. You're going to pass away at the age of 30. But you ardently make dua. Two choices. One is you can wait without making dua and you will die at the age of 30. Other is you make dua at this, say, Allah has decreed 2016, so and so will attain Laylatul Qadr, and during that night he will make dua, "Oh Allah, grant me a long life." And Allah answers your dua, and then you are given a bonus extension. Bam! 60 years, 70 years, or 100 years maybe, inshallah. May Allah bless us all with a long life. Ameen. Do you understand how it works? But remember that everything has been decreed. The fact that you gave charity, that is also decreed. If you are not going to give charity, that is also decreed. 50,000 years. No changes can happen in the main database. The main database is permanent. And that's why we say, رُفِعَتِ الْأَقْلَامُ وَجَفَّتِ الصُّحُفُ. The pens have been lifted and the pages have dried. Do you understand? So no changes can be made at the main database. But apart from that, depending on the choices that you make, you will take different paths across your life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of our lives. Ameen. So my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, as you can see, the discussion in regard to Qadr is lengthy and in a lot of detail. There's just one more definition in regard to qadr that I had to mention very quickly, and then we'll wrap off inshallah ta'ala. It's an interesting definition. And this definition is that it gives the meaning of tadyiq in the Arabic language, which means constraint and narrowness. Allah says in Surah Al-Fajr, وَأَمَّا إِذَا مَبْتَلَأَهُ فَقَدَرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقًا. And the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests, فَقَدَرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will restrict, Allah will restrict his rizq. So it gives the meaning of restriction, qadr. Now you might wonder, now what did I say the first two meanings? The meaning of qada, it matches with Laylatul Qadr, night of decree. Uluwu sha'an, high nature, grandeur, greatness, it matches with Laylatul Qadr because night of power. But this meaning, restriction, constraint of space, no space. How does this match Laylatul Qadr? Do you think it matches? No space, constraint of space. Does it match with Laylatul Qadr? Why would there be constraint of space during Laylatul Qadr? Why will there be no space during Laylatul Qadr? Think. Any idea? Why will there be no space during Laylatul Qadr? There's no space. Tadyiq means no space. Let me give you an example. Say, mashallah, there's a huge crowd here. If a few more brothers were to come inside, there would be no space. That means tadyiq, no space. No space to sit, no space to pray, no space. So on Laylatul Qadr, there will be tadyiq.
تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالرُّوحُ فِيهَا بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ أَمْرٍ.
تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ. تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ. The angels will descend. And the term تَنَزُّل in the Arabic language, you have نَزَّلَ, you have أَنزَلَ. You understand? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ. لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions تَنَزُّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ. That the angels will descend. And this form, تَفَعَّلَ, means to descend in batches. Not just one angel, two angels, three angels. They will descend in groups and batches. And because, and وَالرُّوحُ, and Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam also will come down. Okay? There'll be so many angels. Okay? There'll be so many angels that there will actually be tadyiq on that night. There will be constraint of space. There will be no space. If only you could see the angels, you would say, wallahi, there are so many angels everywhere that there will be no space on planet Earth. So Laylatul Qadr is such a blessed night that there will be so many angels thronging everywhere. So on such a night, when there are so many angels, and when Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam is bound to come down as well, do you want to be sleeping on that night? It doesn't matter if you sleep partially, but try, because لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah does not burden a soul more than he or she can endure. But try to pray a portion of it. Try to read some Quran, and most importantly, try to make dua unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I wrap off, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, I received a few questions the other day in regard to, now during the last 10 nights of Ramadan, firstly in regard to Taraweeh and Qiyamul Layl, there's always a confusion between Taraweeh, Salatul Taraweeh, and Qiyamul Layl, and also in regard to Witr. I'll quickly mention it and wrap off inshallah. During the last 10 nights of Ramadan, because we pray Salatul Taraweeh and then we pray Qiyam, okay, Qiyam prayers, and then we have Witr with Taraweeh and then we have Witr with Qiyam prayers. So there was a question that came up as to, can an individual pray two Witr prayers? Now we have a hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, number one, that two Witr prayers should not be prayed in one night, and number two, another hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it's best that you make Witr as your last prayer. So we have a few ways of going around with this. Say for example, you come to the masjid and you pray Salatul Taraweeh. If you pray Salatul Taraweeh, you pray Witr with the Imam. You have one thing that you can do is that you pray Witr with the Imam. Okay? And when the Imam gives salam, now because Witr is three raka'at basically, when the Imam gives salam, you get up and offer one more raka'at, making it even. Then it is not considered a Witr prayer. And then you can come later on in the night to the masjid and offer your Qiyam prayers 2, 4, 6, 8 and pray your Witr prayers. No issues. You can pray your Witr prayers. On the other hand, if you pray Witr with the Imam as three raka'at for Salatul Taraweeh, don't think that you can't pray Qiyamul Layl. Some people think that if they pray Witr with the Imam with Salatul Taraweeh, that they can't pray Qiyam. No, you can. And the more you pray, the more you're going to be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can come to the masjid or you can pray at home 2, 4, 6, 8, but don't pray witr after qiyam because you have prayed it with Salatul Taraweeh. You understand? On the other hand, if you feel like you're sure that you'll come to the masjid, then you can even omit praying witr during Salatul Taraweeh and come and pray witr with the qiyam prayers. I hope it's clear. Is that clear? And also in comparison between Taraweeh and Qiyam prayers, as to which is better, there are scholars who state that Qiyam prayer is, if you have, it's best to pray both. Because the more you pray, the better. But if you have only an option of choosing one of the two, then choose Qiyam prayers. Because that is more later in the night and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But remember, by indulging in Qiyam prayers, don't forget about Salatul Isha, don't forget about Salatul Fajr. There's no point in coming and crying and praying Qiyam prayers and then forgetting about Salatul Fajr, sleeping through Fajr, or forgetting about Isha. Because according to one hadith of Prophet ﷺ, if you pray Isha with the Jama'ah, you get the reward of standing up in prayer for half of the night. And then if you pray Fajr with the Jama'ah, you get the reward of praying for the other half of the night. So if you pray Isha and Fajr with the Jama'ah, you get the reward of staying the entire night in prayer. So just imagine you do that during the last 10 nights of Ramadan, your rewards are going to be multiplied by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's amazing, mind-blowing. So my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, try your level best to do as many good deeds as possible during these last 10 nights. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses each and every one of us that we attain Laylatul Qadr, the night of power. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all of our sins. May He accept our good deeds. And just as how He unites us here, may He unite us in the gardens of Jannah with our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amin wa akhir da'wah alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. I look forward to seeing you all tomorrow, same time, same place. Jazakumullah khair. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Subhanakum wa bihamdika.